Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from John chapter 20. I read for you again these words. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, crucified and risen Lord and only Savior of the world. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Much better. The disciples were behind locked doors for fear. And fear can be paralyzing. It can so overwhelm us that we don't know what to do, or we say or we do exactly the wrong thing. And at its root, fear is the result of unbelief. That is, not trusting God and His Word. That's why Adam and Eve hid after they ate from the forbidden tree. That's why the Israelites were often in great fear of their enemies. And that's why the disciples were behind locked doors. Though Jesus had repeatedly told them about His death and His resurrection, they did not believe. And though there were multiple reports from those who had seen Jesus alive, they did not believe those reports either. And so they were behind these locked doors for fear of the Jews. Well, if truth be told, we too are often afraid. And admittedly, as we look around, there is much to be afraid of. There's a lot in our world to cause fear and anxiety for ourselves, our country, our world. Terrorism of many kinds, violence, political unrest, threats to the environment, financial difficulties, disease, interpersonal problems, natural disasters, and a whole lot more. That's why we need to learn ever more that we are the children of God, and we need to learn ever more what that means. And so today, as we hear about our Lord's resurrection appearances to those disciples, we get to learn from Jesus what is most important. For indeed, He appeared to them that Easter night, and then again the following week. And so we see that it is important and necessary for the people of God, Jesus' disciples, to gather around His words and His wounds. For where Jesus is, there is peace. Peace which overcomes all fear. So notice what we have. Sunday, disciples gathered, doors shut, Jesus, the sight of His wounds in a living body, overflowing joy, a commission to carry forgiveness out into the world. Sound familiar? Unfortunately, Thomas was not there that first night, and he missed out. He missed the gathering and the mutual support of the other disciples. And most importantly, he missed seeing the Lord Jesus. Now, we don't know why he wasn't there. We're not told. And quite frankly, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that he simply was not there with the others. He wasn't there when Jesus appeared to them. He wasn't there to receive Jesus' gifts of peace and the Holy Spirit. He missed out on it all, and he refused to believe the words of the other apostles. So, unbelieving Thomas lays down his conditions. And that's the way it is with unbelief. It lays down conditions for God to meet before you'll believe him or trust him. Thomas says he must see the wounds with his own eyes and touch them with his own hands. Then maybe he'll believe. So why didn't Jesus appear to Thomas during that week? Why did he let Thomas remain in his unbelief for that entire week? Well, it was for Thomas's benefit and ours. Notice what happened that following week. Sunday, disciples gathered, doors shut. Jesus, the sight of his wounds, overflowing joy, and this time truant Thomas was with them. And the presence of Jesus among the gathered disciples brings Thomas from unbelief to full blast confession, "My Lord and my God." Hallelujah. Thomas had been brought to faith by seeing. When he saw the wounds in Jesus' hands and side, he came to confess that his Lord and his God has been raised from the dead, just as he had promised. And thus Jesus sets the pattern for his disciples. And he's thinking more than Thomas on that second Sunday of Easter. He's thinking of you. And so he says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." But if seeing doesn't bring you to faith, what does? Well, the gospel holds the answer. It's all about what happens on the first day of the week, which is also the eighth day. It's the day that goes beyond our seven-day regular week. On the first and eighth day, we have a miracle. A new creation. The disciples of Jesus gather. The risen Lord comes into their midst. He comes with his wounds, his spirit, his breath, and his words. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So whenever Jesus' people gather for the divine service, whether on Sundays or any other day, the miracle happens again and again. While there's certainly more Jesus than can ever fit into a book, Jesus has given his people a book around which to gather. A book where the breath of Jesus, the breath that is the Spirit of God still blows and calls from unbelief to faith. A book that is opened and read. Words are heard. Concrete words. Words about Jesus. Jesus' own words. The Spirit breathed them all. They come from Jesus and they're all about Him. When we read them, we don't just remember our Lord. Instead, we confess that He is with us in His words. He still speaks to us. That's why we usually stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. That's why we sing out Alleluia as we greet the one who comes to us in His words. After all, He has promised, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now, the one who comes to us in His words also comes to show His wounds, speak peace, and bring joy. So when the words of Jesus are spoken over bread and wine, we have what those words promise. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Thomas was invited to touch and believe. We're invited to taste and believe. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Body and blood remind us of Christ's wounds, of course. After all, you only get body and blood separated from one another when there's a wound. So every time we gather at this holy table, we proclaim Jesus' death and resurrection. And the resurrected one feeds us with his body and his blood. Now, you can't see it from where you sit. And quite frankly, I'm not even sure it's here. But many altars have five crosses cut into them, two at each corner and one in the middle. On top of the altar is a cloth called the fair linen. And that fair linen usually has five crosses, one in each corner and one in the middle. Those five crosses remind us of the wounds from which Jesus' blood flowed. Two in his hands, two in his feet, and one in his side. Those crosses confess that what gets placed upon this altar is the very body and blood of Jesus that hung and died on the cross for us. This is what our risen Lord gives us to eat and to drink. And when we see and taste of those wounds, we also receive His word of peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And then the joy. Thank the Lord and sing His praise. Tell every mouth. Tell everyone what He has done. And so it is that on the Lord's Day, Jesus comes into the midst of His gathered disciples, speaks His peace, brings the joy of sins forgiven, and calls from unbelief to faith. But the joy certainly doesn't end there. The disciples, those apostles, do go out and announce, as they did to Thomas, We have seen the Lord. And so we are sent out from this gathering where Jesus has come to be with us, where we have known Him and seen Him in His words and His wounds, in His body and blood. We are sent forth to tell people like Thomas, people who wallow in the sadness of thinking that death is the end of the road, that to those people, we can tell them that there is one who has gone further than death. We're sent to tell people like Thomas, people who think that their sins still hang around their own necks, that there is one who himself lifted that burden and carried it long ago to give them peace and joy. We are sent to tell one and all. And while we tell them that there is such a one, that there is such a forgiveness, that there is such an eternal life, we also tell them where this risen one can be found, where faith is given, and where forgiveness and joy and peace may be had by all who come. We are sent to invite and bring them to the great gathering on the first and eighth day. After all, it is the Lord's Day when our Savior Jesus still comes to be with us as we gather in His name and around His words and His wounds. And so even now, we live in the new creation He has come to bring. A new creation without fear of any kind. We have true peace in Jesus. What could ever keep us away? Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.